In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Eleanor McCullen. We're going to be speaking about life today. Not very many people speak about it because they say, well, what if in the church there's a woman who might have had an abortion? There's no might at all. There is a woman who had an abortion, and we need to tell them about healing, not only about saving children's lives, about healing the woman who had the abortion.
Oh, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here with you, Father. And of course, the Lord gave me grace 21 years ago after speaking with you and hearing you preach about the importance of speaking out for the unborn. The unborn have no voice. So we speak out. You always encourage me to do that. And by grace, I'm continuing to do that. And it's heartbreaking, but it's also extremely joyful. It's something that that I do. I'm compelled to do it. And it's like there's no debate, because you're right. No one talks about life. The poor child in the womb is just taken out, killed, and somebody. And that's why I'm here with you, Father, to invite everyone that's listening to become more active and to join us to become more active and speak for the unborn, to be, perhaps we can think of different things you can do, but I do the sidewalk counseling in front of Planned Parenthood, and just being there, just saying hello. How can I help you this morning? I'm sure I can. Can we talk a minute? That's basically, it's simple. And it's important. Now, many people, it sounds like, oh, everybody stops. And that's not true. But maybe 10 people will pass me by, but the 11th person will stop and say, are you sure you can help me? And I say, yes, I'll be with you. I'll hold your hand. What's going on? I try to build up the trust. But yeah, it's so important, because you say the baby and life is precious, life is sacred. I don't know if people realize how sacred life is in all stages in the womb, and then continued all the way up when you're 99. We always say from the moment of conception to natural death, life is precious, life is sacred. So as much as I'm there for the baby, I originally start out by speaking to the mother. I'm actually there for the woman, because, as you know, Father, nobody really wants to be there. The women are byproducts of our society. I've said this before. The man involved says, have an abortion or I'm leaving you. The roommate says, you know, you have to finish school. You have to go down to Planned Parenthood and get rid of this baby. Stop that heart from beating. And so they just find themselves right in front of Planned Parenthood. And then to find someone, and we have many compassionate, caring counselors, and to find someone that says, good morning, can I help you? I'm pretty sure I can. Just the kindness in your voice is like a magnet, because usually there's arguments in their apartment or home. The father's yelling. There's a lot of friction and chaos. So someone who really cares, and then you might say, well, why do you care, really? Why do you care about these women? Well, it's an interesting question. The Lord gives you a love for people. He puts it in your heart. once you take that step of faith and begin to do something. Now, we're talking about the unborn and we're talking about the mothers, but there's other things that you could do to help people, to fill in their lives a little bit with some joy and with help. And you might say, well, I don't really care about people in a nursing home, or I don't really care about reading stories to children. But once you take that step in faith and say, I am going to help God's people, and in that way you're preaching the gospel, but you're doing it with some action behind the words. And then once you take that step in faith, it's amazing. You can't explain it unless you do it, because the Lord puts in your heart a love of the people that you're going to be with. And I can't explain it, but when I'm talking to a pregnant woman and it's only 5 minutes, but we're building up trust, I really care about her. I feel like I almost have known her like a year or two. And it's all grace, it's all God, but he wants us to come out, step out in faith, begin to preach the gospel through your actions, and you will be surprised. You have to trust me on this, but you will be surprised how the windows open, the doors open, your heart becomes more compassionate than it ever was before. And you say, how did I get so compassionate? It's all grace, and it's all that stepping forward in faith. So one thing is, I so appreciate Father talking about life and the unborn. No one talks about it. I don't know why. They say, right, maybe somebody had an abortion. But so what? They did, as Father just said. But then it's good to find out how you can go to a Bible study and get healing. And we talk about the mercy of God that's like 5,000 oceans deep. And the mercy of God falls upon this woman and she feels free. She needs to hear that there's mercy and help. And she needs to hear that. So any way you look at it, we have to talk. We have to encourage people to welcome the baby, welcome the newborn. Every baby is a miracle when you look at that baby, and then we help. See, that's the thing. I could help them, and we help them, whatever they need. It's one thing to say, you know, the baby's heart is beating in 21 days, and the brain waves are happening, brain activity in 10 weeks, and, you know, the baby is a miracle. It's a miracle from God. It's like a most beautiful gift from God. And when they're going in there, they're throwing the beautiful gift of God, this little boy or girl, into the wastebasket. I mean, it sounds awful to think about it, but that's what this abortion thing is. It's throwing away a precious gift from God. And I mean, honestly, I just have chills when I think about it. So we help them. Then it's one thing to say, you know, get all this information and, but then they say, oh, okay, I won't have the abortion. And then, okay, well, we'll pray for you. No, those days are long gone. I mean, obviously prayer is good, but you have to then find out, what is the problem? What do you need? Do you need a place to stay? We have two places where you can stay, two houses, beautiful houses, and they don't cost anything. What do you need? Do you need baby things? Do you need an apartment? What do you need? And then we help them. I mean, that's the secret. The secret is you have to spend a little more time then trying to help them and then hold their hand, pray for them. They come over to my house, have a cup of coffee. Sometimes the father of the baby comes. You are investing a little time into this person and, of course, into the baby and future generations that will go on for 150 years. So I'm so glad the Father brings it up. It gives me an opportunity to, again, invite everyone to pray. If you're home and you can't come out, a prayer, maybe not even a whole rosary, a decade of the rosary a day for the unborn. You're praying that abortion will break open, that we won't have abortion anymore, that people will know that life is precious and sacred. That's your prayer. And And if you can say a whole rosary, fine. If you can come out on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic and pray. And then if you feel inclined to say hello to somebody, there's so many things you could do. So many things. People drop things off at my house. And the other day, Father, one of my mother's, her baby's due the end of July, and she said she needed a crib. So I said, oh, sure, well, I'll get you a crib. But then I hung up and I thought, oh, where am I going to shop and how will I get the crib home? I'm doing all this thinking. And you know what happened? About, I guess maybe 4 hours later, a friend of mine, Ann, she called me. She said, Eleanor, I don't know, but I have a crib here if you could use it. So I said, you got to be kidding me. Of course. But then I thought, oh, it might be one of these old fashioned cribs that, you know, it doesn't pass inspection. And now they're very fussy on cribs, which they should be. So I said, well, is it modern? Is it updated? And she said, oh, it's brand new. I said, oh, and it has a mattress and it has sheets. But then the icing on the cake, Father, was I said, oh, yeah, bring it over. But she said, no, I'll take it to the mother's house. So she did. She packed it in her car. And wait till you hear this. I didn't want to tell her. I said, well, she lives on the third floor. So Ann took her daughter with her, and they went up to the third floor, and they dropped off the crib. But not only that, Father, she brought a lot of things for the baby, clothes and diapers. She brought everything. It was just like, as you would say, the cherry on the sundae. And I mean, that was a gift for me, and then obviously a gift. So that we continue, our whole team helps the mothers until they get on their feet. And we're happy to do it because it is a challenge. There's no doubt about it. It is a challenge, but with help, you can do this. If anyone's listening, you can do this. Accept the baby in your womb. Call me. My telephone number we'll give right at the end. Anybody that's pregnant or thinking they know someone who needs some help, you can call me. We'll give the number at the end of the program.
Eleanor has so many stories. I love to hear stories. I have a lot of stories, too. Let me tell you about the child that the Lord spared through me. I went to Repro one morning, and I was the only one there. And a lady from Cape Cod will say, she said, because you're here, I'm not going to have the abortion. That was the only one that I know that was spared, and the woman was spared. Tell us the story about the car.
The battery. I will. But, Father, I love your stories, too. And you underestimate yourself. You have other ones, too, but you can't think of them right now. But the Lord knows what they are, and that's the important thing. And you were there, and that is a beautiful story. Let's see. Well, the one that I think you're thinking of is... And the interesting part that you would bring that up, Father, because the couple, just about 10 days ago, they called me on the telephone and they said, if you're home, we would like to bring over our little boy. And he's 3 years old now. And so I was home and I said, sure, bring him over. And of course, Father, what can I tell you? He's adorable. But this is the story. And it's fun to keep in touch to find out, well, whatever happened to them? So here's what happened. This was the story. Maybe some of you will remember it, but it was a day, all my days, or it's raining or something, and it was pouring rain. And this couple came to the car, or they were walking up to plant. Oh, I think I was on my way home. I think I was. I was thinking it's raining. I'm leaving. And it was like 11:30, but they were walking in. They must have had an appointment then. So I jumped out of the car and I spoke to them about, you know, I can help you. And this is amazing. And, you know, you don't have to do this. And we can go someplace and have an ultrasound. You can see the baby in the womb. And so at least I stopped them in their tracks, and they said, well, we'll go back in our car and we'll think about it. So they went back in the car. Their car was like three cars behind mine. So they're in the car and I'm in the front car. They're three cars behind. It's pouring rain, really. It was pouring cats and dogs. And I was already soaked, and it's like 12 o'clock. And so I'm thinking, okay, so I wait, and then I get out of the car in 20 minutes. I go back in the rain, and that, no, they're still thinking about it. They're still in the car. Okay, fine. So I go back to my car, and of course I'm praying, but then I said, ha ha, I will call Father Tom, see what he can do. So 20 minutes later, I get Father on the line, and I carry my phone back and put it through the window, and the rain's coming down. And I said, here's a friend of mine, Father Tom. He would like to talk to you. And Father, you gave another dimension. I'm giving the help and the baby, and you're giving more of a spiritual, dimension to the whole situation here. You said exactly good stuff, but it was different than what I was saying. So they listened, and but they gave the phone back, and I went back in my car. Now it's 2 o'clock and it's pouring rain. And I said to myself, you know, I don't know how long I can stay here. I mean, sometimes I do this, Father. I say to the Lord, I have a cutoff time. And I think it was like 5 or 2. So I said, my cutoff time is 2 o'clock. I'm leaving at 2 o'clock. So, well, you'll believe this. So then it was 2 minutes to 2. And I hear a knock on my car window. I said, oh, there they are. So I roll down the window, and they said, we were sitting in the car for 2.5 hours and our battery broke, or, it doesn't work anymore. Our car is dead. So I said, okay, well, let me call AAA. So I get out of the car and I go and I call AAA. AAA came and they fixed the car. Well, the couple, they were so elated that I took this time. In fact, he said to me, the man, the father of the baby, said, you know, we just were saying that we couldn't believe you'd wait all that time for us. And then you're calling AAA. And then, I gave the guy a tip. He said, you took care of everything. He said, it was so they didn't have the abortion. And they said they couldn't. So all of a sudden, in that way, in that strange way, I built up trust. I built up the caring. I built up the fact that I said, I can help you. And they believed me. And it took all that, but it was well worth it. So they said, we're not going to have the abortion. And so I kept in touch with them. They came to the house several times. I made sure they had everything for the baby. It was a baby boy. And then we didn't talk after the first year. I think we kind of lost touch until a week ago when they called me and they said, oh, we didn't know you still have this number. Yep, I still have it. And they brought this little boy over, Father. So it was so sweet and such a beautiful, you always wonder, well, whatever happened? So that was the story of, what would you say, perseverance, not giving up, although I did say I was leaving it too. But the Lord said, she's a stubborn little thing. I'm going to have to send them out of there before 2 o'clock. But I guess you have to be reasonable, and I wasn't sure what to do. But thank God, that was a beautiful story. They're doing well. They finally ended up getting married. They weren't married before. And she was living with her mom. So now they have their own place. And that's the other thing I find, Father, that usually I'm going to say 95% of people that I've met over the last 21 years, it seems like life's upside down. It seems like there's no path through the mountain. But once we start working together, and then they take a step in faith too. They take a step in faith that I'm going to help them and that God's with them and God wants them to have this beautiful miracle, this gift. And so I see it time and time again, doors open for these people that are thinking my life's upside down. I don't know what I've seen men get jobs. I've seen women get apartments. I've seen so many blessings. Things seem to just work out for them. And I think God honors birth. God honors their decision to accept birth and then and accept the child, and then with help, it works. And so they're fine. They're happy. They say the baby, the boy, is the joy of their life. And thank you, thank you. What can we say? Thank you, thank you. So that I just wanted to pass that on. Persevere.
Persevere, persevere, persevere. Tell us, Eleanor, why is there so much violence on the streets? In Winthrop, 3 people died. Tell us why there is so much violence.
Yeah, well, thank you, Father. That's like a big question here. But, just Winthrop, that's a big story today. That's a very sad story. And then across the United States, in the last, I don't know, it seems like the last 2 or 3 months, I don't know, just crazy violence happening. And you said it, though, Father, originally, you put the correlation between the violence that is happening in the womb to the violence on the street. And I believe that's true, and it's just escalating. It's just escalating. I don't know exactly. There's anger. I'm not sure, but it also, I think Mother Teresa said too, like if a woman can take her child, if a woman can kill the child in her womb, then all life is devalued. And then what keeps us from being violent with one another? And I think it's related. It's definitely related. And I don't know, you've said it, I've said it, but no one seems to see that correlation except you and me. I don't think people see the difference. And it's so clear when you see it that we have this violence in the womb. It is violent. It's a violent taking of a child from the womb. That's a violent act. So, and life is devalued, and women are just, they're not sure what to do, and they just take that avenue, and then they have months and weeks of regret, and probably years of regret, and it's heartbreaking. So you can explain it better than me, but that's exactly what I think it is.
I was once at the House of Representatives, and we were testifying to life. I was the last person to speak. And this is what I said. I said, you people kill from the womb violently. What you need to do is to look to the streets, because they're going to be violent. Because you say violence, I can kill a child. Why not can I kill A, B, and C? And that's just the way it is. Violence gives violence. Love gives love. Yes, what you do counts. What you do counts.
Oh, that's so true, Father. I like when you give it a little better explanation than me, but we're both saying the same thing. And I don't know when people are going to realize that. I think, you know, people do realize it, Father, but they're quiet. They're silent, like the legislators. They're afraid. There's such a fear running through the country now, such a fear. And it's, they don't want to speak up with whoever. They're just afraid to rock the boat. They're afraid to upset people. Maybe they're afraid they won't get elected again. But it's a fear. And if only a few people do speak up, but not many, Father. And if they would, I think life would be, it would so improve. And I think that's what our Lord is calling us to do, to see what we're doing here, what we're doing with his babies. And I would pray, that's a prayer, Father, that people would wake up and see that this abortion violence, it goes along with the violence in the street. And I don't know how that's going to come about. Certainly prayer, but then we have to have people that speak up. And that's what you do. And we need more priests to speak up. We need more lay people to speak up and not be afraid. It's hard. It takes courage. But you know what? It takes courage to do anything to do the right thing takes courage. So we pray for people to have courage to just speak up. The Lord will then honor that, and things could turn around. But seems like a huge, seems huge right now. But the Lord can change things in the blink of an eye if his people would turn to him, if they would turn their hearts to him. And that's our prayer, Father. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus today. And whatever you're doing, whatever it is, just say, Jesus, do something. Jesus, take over. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help the country. Jesus, help the violence. Jesus, please open their hearts and minds and souls and let them speak up.
Give your phone number.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my telephone number is 617-733-2264. And I'm Eleanor, so call me if you just want to talk. If you just want to talk about anything, you can call me.
Give it again.
617-733-2264. And, of course, if you're pregnant or know anyone else or somebody that's been through an abortion, whatever it is, I'm available. So I'd love to talk with you.
I speak about it because it's true. And because it's true, we've got to confront it with love. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.